From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Rachel Miro. The nation watched when our state's Supreme Court ruled on same-sex marriage a couple of weeks ago. Now New York's governor has directed all state agencies there to do what needs to be done to recognize same-sex marriages performed elsewhere in Canada, Massachusetts, and California. Given the air pollution problems in the state, you might be stunned to hear Southern California boasted lower carbon emissions per capita in 2005 than any place else in the country, save Honolulu. So say researchers at the Brookings Institution, a D.C. think tank. They ranked 100 urban areas, but study authors acknowledged they set aside a few key factors, like industrial emissions and those from cargo transport by air, rail, and sea. The hot topics at Chevron's annual shareholder meeting yesterday could have been ripped from this month's headlines. High gas prices, trouble in Burma, global warming concerns. Rachel Dornhelm reports the company held largely to its agenda at the meeting, but there was one surprise for environmental advocates.
Chevron, clean up!
Outside the gated campus in San Ramon, dozens of protesters dressed in white hazmat suits marched. Inside, the board told shareholders that Chevron posted its fourth consecutive year of record profits in 2007. Investors also heard from global activists who blame the company for health problems, pollution, and political unrest in their home countries. Ecuadorian Luis Yanza won this year's Goldman Environmental Prize by advocating for cleanup in areas polluted by Texaco, which is now owned by Chevron. Yanza spoke as a proxy shareholder.
What I said was that there are 30,000 indigenous and campesino people in Ecuador that are dying because of the contamination that the company left.
Yanza says Chevron responded with a video blaming Ecuador's national oil company for the mess. An Ecuadorian court is now deciding whether Chevron must pay to clean up billions of gallons of crude oil and toxic wastewater in the Amazon basin. Shareholder Bob O'Dwyer says management attitudes toward dissenting voices have changed over the 20 years he's attended these meetings. Yesterday, for example, the Chevron CEO surprised the Sierra Club by accepting a challenge to a debate. But at the end of the day, says O'Dwyer, Chevron is a company.
It's not a charity. It's not a social organization. The ultimate goal of any company in the free enterprise system is to make a dollar, and that's what they do, and they do it very well.
Over half the resolutions voted on yesterday involved human rights or environmental issues. None passed. Shareholders who proposed them include the State of New York Pension Fund. A spokesperson says they're worried Chevron is vulnerable to lawsuits and fines if it doesn't address these conflicts now. For the California Report, I'm Rachel Dornhelm.
Primary elections don't get the same kind of attention as the general elections in the fall. Voter turnout is lower. We don't get to decide on the next U.S. president just yet. But in most districts in California, the primary tends to decide who wins in November. Gerrymandered lines that fix a district as solidly Democrat or Republican make sure of that. So with the June 3rd primary just days away, we turn to Sacramento Bureau Chief John Myers for a rundown of some of the top races to watch. John, where shall we start?
Well, Rachel, let's start in Northern California. You know, as you said, legislative and congressional districts really are drawn to favor one party over the other. And for Democrats, that's often a battle over who is the most liberal. The best example of that, I think, in California this time around is San Francisco Marin counties, where incumbent State Senator Carol Migdon of San Francisco was locked in a three-way Democratic battle to keep her seat in the Senate here in Sacramento. Now, Migdon has been dogged by bad press this past year, campaign finance violations, and a much gossiped about incident of leaving the scene of a car accident. Her biggest challenge has been from Mark Leno, an assemblymember from San Francisco, who took the unusual step of challenging an incumbent fellow Democrat. He's best known across California as the author of the plan to legalize same-sex marriage, which has been vetoed in the past by the governor. Migdon and Leno, both openly gay members of the legislature, and because some people think they may actually split the same group of voters in San Francisco, a third candidate entered this race, former Marin County State Assemblymember Joe Nation. He actually could win just by carrying all of the areas outside of San Francisco. An expensive campaign, nasty campaign, Democrats split into rival camps. Either way, though, or I should say all three ways, no matter who wins this one, you've got an experienced and liberal lawmaker who is going to cruise to victory in this part of California come November.
So there's a lively state race. Anything interesting on the congressional front?
Probably the most interesting one in the congressional front is with Republicans in the Sierra Nevada foothills, a race for Congress that is the epilogue to the scandal involving veteran Republican Congressman John Doolittle. Now, you may remember John Doolittle was the subject of investigation for his ties to disgraced lobbyist Jack Abramoff. Doolittle is not running again, and so the 4th Congressional District, just outside Sacramento, features a race between two familiar Republicans. Tom McClintock, who is a longtime state lawmaker and a darling of the California conservative movement, has run for statewide office 3 times, has huge name ID, versus Doug Ossie, who's a more moderate, business-friendly Republican who formerly served as the congressman from the district next door to the one he's running in now. This has been an ugly intra-party race among Republicans. Ossie calling McClintock a carpetbagger because McClintock is from Ventura County and has moved into this Northern California area. McClintock calls Ossie a liberal. Former Governor Pete Wilson waded in this week bashing Tom McClintock. He never got along with him in the state capitol while he was governor. It is a strongly Republican district, though Democrats think if the war continues in a bad way and national politics continues on, they could have a strong battle here. But you've got two Republicans really duking it out in the foothills.
A lot of reading to do over the weekend, clearly. Anything else we should make sure to watch?
Well, I think lastly, not so much a primary, but it's a recall. In the Central Valley on June 3rd, voters are going to be asked whether to remove their state senator, Jeff Denham, from office. Now, Denham is a Republican from Merced, and he finds himself in the position that he's in thanks to his refusal to vote for last year's budget during that big stalemate at the state capitol. Democrats in the Senate, led by their Senate pro tem, Don Parada, spent a whole lot of money to get signatures to force a recall election against Denham. Now, it's interesting because Denham's district is pretty evenly split between Democrats and Republicans, and Democrats think they might be able to pick up a vote in the state Senate if they knock Jeff Denham off in this race. But the battle fizzled out a few weeks ago. Don Parada, the leader of the Senate Democrats, called off the dogs in hope of easing negotiations over the budget this year with Republicans. He canceled the official campaign against Jeff Denham. That's well and fine, but the recall question stays on the ballot, and we know that the last recall in California was the removal of Gray Davis as governor. That race was like this one in that it was about politics as much as it was about actual public policy.
In California, I guess anything's possible.
Indeed.
John, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel.
John Myers is the California Report's Sacramento Bureau Chief. That's the California Report for Thursday, May 29th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, expanding opportunity for the people of California, and supporting the California Report since its premiere in 1995. OSH, Complete Home and Garden, offering service and selection to Californians for over 75 years. Ideas, tips, and solutions at osh.com.